بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Someone came to offer fabric. He complained that he's stuck up and he can't just get it selling. Perhaps it must have been about ₹1 million worth of fabric. He wants to get it out of the way. So now he's pressed. He sees that this is occupying space. Whatever will come, he's prepared to take the loss and continue. So this person that he comes to, he says, "No, no, what you do? This fabric is in demand. You take it for CMT and I'll show you the contact that will give you a reasonable price. And I will also show you the contact that will buy it from you for a good price." So on the one deal he made approximately ₹500,000, 50% profit. Now this whole thing can be turned around, right? And it can be turned around in this way. Say, well, this is ₹1 million. And this person is stuck up, he's hard pressed, and he can't get it out of his way. So, I know that this has got a value, he doesn't know the market. I know the market. I know what they want. I can get the CMT, and I can also market it straight away. I can make a killing out of it. So, now let's do some business. So he may be saying, alright, it's ₹1 million, I'm prepared to sell it to you for half. Now the normal tendency will be, see, I'm doing you a great favor, you know. As it is, I don't need it, never mind. Since seeing that you are stuck up, let me just purchase it from you. So I'll get it, I'll squeeze the person and get it for quarter the price. Right? And then, in my circles or in his circles, I will say, you know what, I did him a favor. Poor chap was down and out. And I did him a favor, I purchased the thing. And then, I paid him for it as well. You know? So as though you did him a great ihsan. Now, we need to see where we fit in. Okay. Do we fit in as Muslim tradesmen? Or we are tradesmen first, we are businessmen first, then our Islam comes afterwards. So, if we are Muslim tradesmen, we are Muslim businessmen, then our Islam comes first, and thereafter our trade. First is our Islam, then our trade. Islam teaches us that the man is in constraints. He's in problems, he needs the cash, this is in his way. Right? He's not doing very good. Let me see how I can work something for him. Let me create an opportunity for him. Ad-deenu an-nasiha. The deen is not just confined to some rituals of the masjid, not just confined to that. The deen is then extended into the business. It's extended into the workplace. It's extended, carried over everywhere. Whether it's a business, whether it's a workplace, whether it is the home, whether it is wherever, but the deen is carried over into every quarter. When we carry the deen over into every quarter, then people see it that Islam is a religion that is complete and comprehensive. It is not like other religions, which is confined and just restricted to their business, to their prayers and to the rituals. Otherwise, this is how people look into a religion that is just restricted to some religious practices, some rituals, some religious practices. Now we are giving the person the opportunity to look at Islam from a different perspective altogether. Altogether different. See, I came with difficulty. And when I came with difficulty, this person did not exploit me. He did not take advantage over me. He did not take advantage over the situation. He enjoyed, but he made me enjoy as well. He could have made a cool $500,000. He could make himself. But he allowed me to have that cool $500,000. In our way of business, how we will think is, you know, I will make that $500,000, then I'll go for Umrah, then I'll give something to the masjid, I'll give something here, and I'll cover up in that way. So if I've earned something here, then I've spent on a religious cause. Now for the religious cause that I've spent, so I'm going to get that sawab. You have done it on a religious cause, but you lost and you defeated the very spirit of deen. The deen is telling you that ad-deenu an-nasiha. Deen is to wish well. Whether it is in your business, whether it is a non-Muslim, whether it is a Muslim, whether it is a wealthy person, whether it's a poor person, whether it is the leader, whether it is your follower, whether it is whichever, your home, but what does deen, what is the spirit of deen? The spirit of deen is to wish well. Now in this particular case, when you say wish well, then wishing well, how will it feature? It will feature in this way, that this person didn't know how to do business, he didn't know what to do with it, I opened an avenue for him. When I opened that avenue for him, can you imagine the amount of du'as that I'll get from this person? What he will be thinking of, you know? Man could have made a cool $500,000 in one transaction. In 2-3 days you could have done it. You know? And there could have been ready buyers for it. But see how he showed me, how he led me on. I was something on for myself. Now this is Islamic finance. And if we aren't going to go by this principle, then what we will be doing is we'll be stretching parameters. We'll be stretching the limits. And when we stretch the limits, then we'll just try to see that it is within parameters so that we can say it was a permissible deal. It was not an impermissible haram deal. We'll say that. So what we did, we stretched the parameters, and together with stretching the parameters, we appeased ourselves. Now see, I did a halal deal. Nothing, not a cent of haram I have got here. But I ask you that in this deal that we have done, is there any spirit of Islam? The essence of Islam, is it there? The essence of Islam is gone. The spirit of deen is gone. You have destroyed the essence of deen, the spirit of deen. The person that sold you this stuff, if he comes to know that this is what you did to him, what will happen to his feelings? What will happen to his emotions and feelings? He'll be destroyed. He won't be able to tell you anything, but within him he'll say, no, this is not a good person to deal with. See, this is what he did to me. Now this is what's happening. Alhamdulillah, there is an awakening in the finance sector. People are talking about it, alhamdulillah. But the greater thing and the need of the hour is to speak about Islamic, the essence of business, the very spirit of Islamic business. That's a different thing altogether. What should be our approach? What should be our understanding of business and finance? Ad-deenu an-nasiha. Now in this way you made a quick cash for yourself. But when you made a quick cash for yourself and you lost the spirit, so in that wealth you'll be just turning digits, but that has got no barakat, it's got no good in it. And here you have made less. You introduced that person, you showed him, alright, go and do this business like this. He made something for himself. You didn't get that opportunity. Right? But in that way, there'll be much more barakat. The little that you have got, Allah Ta'ala will turn that in such a way that you've got barakat in your work. Now, we don't understand that the Quran Sharif, it commences, you know, Surah Baqarah, and the first verse, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, they believe in the unseen. And in our practice, are we saying to Allah Ta'ala that we believe in the unseen, Or we are saying to Allah that we only believe what we see. You know, I will sell this, I'll get 500,000. I can see the 500,000. But I will lead him on, I will miss out and he will get, so I can't see what's going to happen afterwards. I can't see what's going to happen afterwards. Here I can see that 500,000 come. And in this scenario, I'm not seeing anything coming on for me. You see. So on the one end, when we are reciting the Quran, we're saying, no, we believe in the unseen. But in our practices, what we are doing, in our behavior, our conduct, what it's showing that we don't believe in the unseen, we believe only in the seen. So, in business again, the hadith speaks about what's supposed to be the disposition of a Muslim, a Muslim businessman, wealthy person, what's supposed to be the disposition? Then he's going to show generosity. He's going to show kindness, right? Whether it is a wealthy person or not a wealthy person, but every person according to his position, he's going to show generosity, he's going to show kindness. That's a better thing than you start off in a sequence, the ones that are close to you, immediate, etc. Then the Sahabi asks, what about the person that doesn't have all this? What about him? What can he do? So he has been also shown a way out. See what you do? تَصْنَعْ لِأَخْرَقْ. You're seeing someone that is doing some work, but he's not professional. He doesn't know how to do it well. أَخْرَقْ is a person that is not a professional. He's messing up things. You can see that he's messing up things. Now, for example, it's a person that is doing his books, right? And he doesn't know the finer aspects of doing the books. And on account of him not knowing how to do the books, right, he's going to pay R1,000,000 more in taxes, for example. Just for example, he's going to pay R1,000,000 more in taxes. So now, you are an accountant, and you see that this is what he's doing. So now, but you don't do it this way, yeah? I will show you that you're paying R1,000,000 more. You can bring that to, that's 50,000 rand. From the R1,000,000, legally, correctly, I will show you how to work that thing out. And you will save the 950, you'll only pay 50,000, and you'll get this very, very comfortably done. I won't charge you much. It'll take me about 10 minutes to do this thing here. Just pay me my fees, 500 rand, enough, 10 minutes, and I'll show you how to do it. Now what that person feels, how great he feels. Now that is if our attitude is Islamic. If our attitude is capitalistic, to make the money, however, to squeeze the person and get the money, then my approach will be different. See, you know you're going to pay taxes, I'll work a plan for you, and the plan that I'll work for you, and I'll make it half, you know. But see, when I make it half, it'll be R500,000 tax, right? So you save so much, right? So are you prepared to, what are you prepared to give me? 100, 200 count, how much are you going to give me? Now, this is a capitalistic attitude, and this is an Islamic attitude. It's a small little procedure showing where I just adjust it in this way, adjust it in that way. And by that slight adjustment, you save the person 950,000 rands, for example. Say, well, just give me the 10 minutes, give me 500 rand. Whatever it is. Give me that much, and this is what I would make in 10 minutes or whatever. I make that, I will show you the idea how to do it, I will do the whole thing for you, and you, I charge you this much. Now imagine how much of du'as you get from that person. But do we think like this? He says, no, we'll try and justify that. See, a businessman, his product is that commodity that he sells. That is his product. That is what he sells. And I'm an accountant, so the advice that I give you, that's my product. And when it's R1,000,000 product that I'm selling you, I can't sell you for 50 cents. He'll justify that, you see. Now, that is when the profession comes first and Islam comes after. I am an accountant first, then I am a Muslim. But if you are first a Muslim and then an accountant, your whole approach will be totally different, absolutely different. Now, this can be applicable to any other profession. It's a doctor, for example, right? Person comes at an odd hour. You know, child is playing and while jumping or something, he got hooked with a hook. And now we're trying to pull that thing out, the more we're pulling it out, the more it's getting in. Obviously, it's a small little child, that thing is frantic, it's crying. It's an odd hour. So, the doctor feels, hey, you know, I can make a cool 2000 here. Because I have to make a small incision here, pull that thing out, then stitch it up, you know. So, it's off hour now. So, I can nail the person is desperate, he'll have to do it. He'll be worried about that thing becoming septic, whatever. So, let me just do it. I'll do as though, you know, I'm doing a great, great, great act of kindness, you know. And I'll load my face and I'll get it from him. That person will pay you with a smile. But I say you, deep down, do you feel nice about the whole thing? Do you feel good about the whole thing? Man came to you in Sakrats. He came to you in Pareshan. Right? He was broken down. And then you broke him down even further. Now, was that the right thing? You should have just had, you know, think to yourself, Allah Pak has given so much to me, right? Or if he comes at an odd time, I'll charge him my normal fees. Say my normal fees for that, this work will take about 20 minutes. Say I charge, say 500 rands. So I'll charge him 500 rand. I will do whatever. I'll charge him my normal fees, 100 rand, 500, 200, whatever fees. My normal fees, I'll pay him. I'll charge him. He'll go, but he'll sleep so nicely. The doctor seen me so nicely, so respectfully. When he saw me in Pareshan, he didn't take advantage of me, he didn't exploit me, he didn't extort me. So what that person feels about Islam? See? So all this happens when we are first Muslims and then a tradesman. We are first Muslims, then we are an accountant. We are first Muslims, then we are doctors. Then it happens like that. Otherwise, to join this bandwagon is very easy. It's very easy, you make the money. But as I ask you, what's the goodness in that money? There's no good. The barakah has been destroyed. It's been defeated. So this is what is called stretching parameters. You take it to any mulana, the mulana will not tell you that what you did was haram. He will not tell you that your earnings are makruh tahrimi, is bordering with haram. He can't tell you. He's not khabis. He can't tell you that much. But I ask you, is the spirit of Islamic finance found in that wealth of yours? That spirit of finance has been destroyed, killed, destroyed. And the spirit is such an important thing, we don't realize the importance of the spirit in that trade that we're doing, that commerce that we are doing, we don't realize it. I ask you, at a Juma, right, the Imam Sahib just got a lungi from the navel till the knee. Got a cap, everything is bare here, and below the knee everything is bare. Got his takis, and he's giving the khutbah, he's giving the bayan, the masjid. You'll allow it. Will you allow it? Any masjid in the world, will they allow it? But if anybody asks any mulana that namaz is valid or not, what will he say? Invalid. The namaz is valid, but what you have done, you have destroyed the very spirit, the essence of deen has been destroyed. That will make such a big noise about he's destroyed deen. What he's doing? Most will think that the namaz is not valid. How can he ever make namaz in that way? What he's thought about religion? So, in essence, what we have done, that we have restricted our deen just to some religious practices, some rituals. We haven't extended the same spirit into different quarters, our different apartments. Our different departments, we haven't extended it. We haven't shown that Islam stands for kindness, stands for love, stands for respect, stands for that person that is in constraints. Let me try and make a plan for that person. Let me work something for him. We didn't think about it in that manner. Hazrat Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He goes to the marketplace and he wants an animal. Perhaps in those days you're buying a horse or perhaps a donkey, something for conveyance, transport. So he sees that the person that is offering that animal doesn't know about price. He's selling it for pittance, for 100, for example, he's selling it. Hazrat Jarir is a Sahabi that accepted Islam just about 2 years before Rasulullah could leave the world. But in the 2 years, what impact it had on his life, just 2 years. And you can't say that he stayed all the 2 years with Nabi Sarsan. But the impact that it had on him, That is something that we need to understand, what impact it had on him. Just 2 years, but what did he do to this person, the Jari radiallahu anhu, had just the association with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just for 2 years. See? The whole outlook changed, the whole outlook. And the outlook changes when we see behavior, we see ways, mannerisms, values, we see of the person, then our whole outlook changes. Otherwise, if that outlook doesn't change, then it's just a veneer. We're not seeing the pure spirit of Islam. And really today, what people want to see is the spirit of Islam. The spirit, this truth, this truthfulness, you know, this honesty that comes from within the heart. This is what people want to see. This is what they wish to see. See, if we are going to do things for wealth, we'll get that wealth if Allah Ta'ala wills. There is a king and he's got his advisors, ministers, etc. Now the king is showing his attention to one person. Slave just came in now and all the attention he's taking away. Now obviously that brings about a lot of envy. It brings about a lot of jealousy to the rest of the cabinet. Cabinet is watching, but this man just came in now. He's a menial worker. But the king has got so much of time for him. We are old here, and we make the decisions here. We work for this parliament, for this government, we work. And we don't receive the type of attention, appreciation like this person receives. So obviously this creates a little bit of envy, it creates jealousy. You see, in the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, this was the reason for the envy. We are strong, well-bodied group of youngsters. He's a small infant, so he's getting the father's attention. We're supposed to be receiving the attention, he's receiving it. So it creates envy, it creates jealousy amongst the brothers. Right? But why is he receiving it? Why can't we get it? We're doing all the hard work. We do the chores of the house. We do the running about. And when it comes to attention, then he gets the attention. Why is it so? They feel deprived within themselves. They feel hurt within themselves. And then this, if these feelings, these emotions are not regulated and not corrected, and you allow the emotions to have the bet over you, then the consequence can be serious. Now the consequence here is, they're attempting murder on this child. Uqtulu Yusuf. See that? This jealousy and this pride. Uqtulu Yusuf awitrahuhu. When this incidents of the Quran Sharif are related, and it is for us to see within, what's the Quran says, it's giving some lesson here. But you see, when they didn't regulate that jealousy of theirs, they didn't monitor that envy of theirs, to which point it can bring this person. Now the same happens in our business. When you see, we're working so hard, and this person has just opened up now, and is moving, and we can't move, what happens? What happens to us? What don't we do then? So, they are complaining that he is getting all the attention, whereas it is our hard work. Why is it? Now you know, nowadays, even the walls have ears. So somehow, the news also filters, goes on, until the king had to hear about this. Okay, this is what's going on. See? So, when it comes to the attention of the head, now the head, generally when the head gets a problem, then it doesn't lose itself. It doesn't lose composure. Right? It needs to understand how to bring about normality, how to allow peace to prevail and happiness to go about. They need to understand how to do it. They won't act just randomly. They won't act impulsive. No, they won't become impulsive. All those kings, all those ministers make udbet now. You've got jealousy, won't do that. Can't make him do that. Can't say, bend down, give you six of the best. Why you got jealousy? Because he knows this, he needs these people. Right? And if he's going to act like this, then he won't have good advisors. Right? And he can't allow this to continue. The one option is to go and beat these people up, to give them a tongue lashing, thrashing, etc., to shout them. And the other alternative, the other, the The other extreme was, just allow it, let them carry on. If you let them to continue, they can go and murder the person. See that jealousy and that envy, what he does. Look at the time of election, what happens. They don't hesitate killing someone, hurting someone. Don't this thing happen internationally? Everywhere it happens. When you fry that this person, he can be a threat. He can be a threat to the party. What don't we do? Put him away. And they will say, يُتَحَمَّلُ الزَّرَرُ الْخَاسِ لِزَرَرِ الْعَامِ. A small little problem, now we'll have to move it out of the way to cover ourselves from a bigger damage. Damage control. Small thing, now we'll just push it out of the way. We'll cover ourselves from a bigger damage. See? Now these people are watching this, what's going on. So the king also understands what's going on. Now he's got one of two options. Either to shout them and to push them down and smash them and demolish them, push them out of their positions. And the other is to just leave it out completely. But now both cannot be the solution. And both can't be solution. Now he's looking for a solution. What to do? What do we do in this situation? We're confronted with a problem. What do we do? So the king calls the whole cabinet all around, and then he opens one of his vaults, right? And he makes an announcement that whoever puts his hand on whichever precious item, that belongs to him. All the ministers, the advisors, all hearing, that's what the king has to say. So someone puts his hand on the emerald, someone on the diamond, someone on the rubies, someone on the gold, some on the silver. Whatever they can lay their hands, they're laying their hands. And the king made that announcement, you put your hand onto it, that's yours. In the meanwhile, this person that they're envying, he is cool, relaxed, and he's got the fan, and he's fanning the king. And he's relaxed, he's not emotional, he's not moved at all. The whole parliament is all shaken up, everybody's grabbing him. And he is absolutely relaxed, and he's just fanning, calmed and composed. So the king asks him, but didn't you hear this announcement going? He said, yeah, I did hear the announcement going. But then it didn't motivate you, you didn't get stirred up at all, the whole cabinet is all stirred up. Don't you have any brains? Don't you have any senses? So he's still relaxed. So the king put up a firm face, but you know, don't you have any brains? I'm asking you and you're just ignoring me. So he asked the king, but you know, you said just now that whoever places his hand on whatever precious article here, that will belong to him. Is that a fact? How can you doubt my integrity? He's not asking the king to doubt the integrity, but just to show his intentions. He said, yes, that's my integrity, that I will go by my integrity and my respect. So he says, well, then I place my hands on your shoulders. Now, what he meant is, you people did for that type of material gains. So the material that you had intended, you got the material. You did for that ruby, for that diamond, for that gold, for the silver. Whatever you did it for, you got that. And I did it for the king. So when I did it for the king, the whole kingdom belongs to him. When the king is mine, then the kingdom is mine. Then the kingdom is mine. The king is mine, then the kingdom is mine. So we have this option that in that wealth, when monitoring and regulating wealth, we've got one of two options. One is to see the digits turning, the material growing, material progress. That is the one option. And I'll do this and I will turn it like this. I will do this and I will turn it like this. And the other is that I'm doing it only for Allah Ta'ala. No other reason. I'm doing it purely, clean, absolutely for Allah Ta'ala. No other reason. And I will do it not just for Allah Ta'ala, but I will do it in the way Allah Ta'ala is pleased. Like I showed you about the accountant, right? And a small maneuver. He could have got that money easily, right? He could have got that money easily, 100, 200,000 rand, just to show that person the proceed, and he could have got so much for himself. Or it was the doctor, he would have got so much for himself. Just for that 10 minutes or 5 minutes. He said, no. I need to do it for Allah Ta'ala. And I need to do it in the way that will be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Not just for Allah Ta'ala, but in the way that is most pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. So when you have done it in the way that will be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, and you have done it for Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala becomes yours. You have done it for that material became yours. And you have done it for Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala became yours. You have done for me, I will do for you. As though Allah Ta'ala is saying, that you do for me, and I will do for you. And you will do for material, then you will get the material, but subject to my consent. You will not just get it freely, you will get it, but you will get it subject to my consent. If I consent, I approve, you will get to that extent. And you won't get anything beyond that. And if you do it for me, then I am forever, and things will work out for you forever as well. Because as a man, you don't have only one need. It's not only material need, not only money. Then you need a wife. Right? That's a need. Then the wife must be conforming to your temperaments and your ways. That's another need. She must be obedient. She must be good looking. At all times, she must be the apple of your eye. At any given time. Right? Then she must bear good children for you. So don't you need Allah Ta'ala all the time? Every moment of your life, don't you need him? You need him every moment of your life. Now you've got children. Then your problems don't end there. Then you want to see that they settle well. And when they settle well, they must be able to prove themselves that are they getting children or not. So your fikr doesn't end at any point. So when you got Allah Ta'ala, then he's going to pave the way for all these things thereafter. Everything's going to be worked out. Otherwise, you'll get one thing worked out, and 10 damages will cause. You got the children, all right? Like you were anticipating, you got the children. But the children don't want to listen to you. You were thinking of wealth, you got the wealth. But the wealth is not bringing you that type of respect. It's not bringing you that type of honor. You see, tasna'a li akhraqa. Person that doesn't know, anari ke liye kuch kaam, uska kaam bana dena. Akhraq is a anari. You're not professional, you can't do the thing. But he's showing how to do it. Now, this type of complaint, how much don't you get it? All the time this type of complaint comes in that we will squeeze that work out and we'll give him just something that he can continue his life. That legal, there can be no legal implications, but we squeeze the person out and we get the maximum out of him. Now, are we passing on Islam like this? We're not passing on Islam. That person sees, well, the Islam that he does is only confined to some rituals. I don't see it in the business, I don't see it in the person, I don't see it in the behavior, I don't see it anywhere. He's just restricted to some rituals that he practices. That's his Islam. And he would say, he would summarize you, say, well, you know, I'm working for this person here. I don't see any good. He squeezes me for the work. Excuses me for money. He's not considerate towards my feelings, my emotions, nothing. He's not considerate. So he will not have the respect for you. He will not have the respect for your religion. But on account of what? On account of this. Now how much Islam is emphasizing? By bring about the spirit, bring about the sincerity in your action. That action of yours, small or big. We hear of the story repeatedly about the dharam, you know. And man, orchard owner is squeezing it and is taking out two big glasses. And then the near changes. And when the near changes, the whole thing collapses. Just the near changed. And on the change of the near, that whole thing that was going so well, everything is just collapsed. But what is the catalyst? What is the starting point? The starting point is the near. The near has to be corrected. So the Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he is going to purchase that horse. That person is saying 100. The Jarir says, will you be happy with 200? Says, why not? Why shouldn't I be happy? He says, no, with 300, hey, then I'll be excited. 500, hey, then over the moon. And 1,000, then hey, I'll get a heart failure. Says, I'll give you 1,000 for this. Now imagine how great this villager must have felt. Okay. What I've been offering for 100, I've been trading it for 100, the man's bought it for 1,000. He bought it for 1,000. Whereas I was advertising it for 100. And I'll have a lot of good niyats, you know, I'll get the 1,000, and I'll go for Hajj, I'll go Umrah, I'll support this cause here, I'll support that cause. But I ask you, have you supported the cause of deen? If that person comes to know, you know, I let this thing go for a pittance, I let it go. And this person knew about it, and this is how he squeezed me for that, you know. I ask you, are we doing anything for the cause of deen? Nothing for the, what for the cause of deen? You have sold deen actually. So, this Islamic values is not just confined to the masjid or something. In every way we are extending Islamic values. In our mundane lives, if only two things we can get right, our business and our business principles we get right, and the relationship with the opposite sex, right? How do we, in the business or wherever, but how do we interact, how do we conduct ourselves, how do we behave? You're going to carry on freely with them. They also understand after a time, this man is too loose. Now he's got a beard, he's wearing a kurta, but he's too loose with women. You can talk with them casually, you can fidget with them, you can interfere with them. Now, whoever it may be it a black or a white or a brown, whatever, but you try and do all these type of things, then what happens? What does that person feel? Hazrat Umme Salima radiallahu anha, she's accepted Islam, the whole household has accepted Islam. And for some reason, after they accepted Islam, now they're moving to Medina Munawwara. So the husband is already gone. And the child is in her laps. So as she's moving, they take away the child. So you've got no right to take the child away. The child belongs to the father's family, so we'll keep it here. Now she can't move. Her child is like her life. Her child is like life and death for her. How can she move? They are robbing her of her own child. And she's crying and pleading, but no, they won't listen. 1 year she's sticking like this. She is separate. Her child is separated. And the husband is separated. Can you imagine the turmoil she's going through? The mental turmoil that she's going through. Dear little child, mother lives and dies for that child. First child perhaps. And what emotion, the emotion, how high they must have been running. But no, there is no mercy in the hearts of this kuffar. Like you see in that day, in this day also the same. It's just that the systems have been changed, but it's same, the same Guantanamo Bay is today, was then also. Same Guantanamo Bay mentality hasn't changed. If you accept Islam, then your Islam is the crime that you are committing. So, separated, father is separated, mother is separated, child is separated. Anyway, after 1 year, someone took pity for them, no, let them go. So the mother takes the child, and she's just moved out of Makkah Mukarrama, and one person, perhaps Usman ibn Talha or Talha ibn Usman, he sees this pitiful sight. So no, I'll escort them. And right till Medina Munawwara, 300-400 kilometers, but she says, I'll ever respect this man. Because this person escorted me right to Medina Munawwara. He didn't flirt, he didn't look at me, he didn't even enter into any casual talk, nothing at all. When we need to stop at a station to have some refreshments or just to relieve ourselves, then he will sit the camel, he'll move away into some bush or something, that I can do whatever I need to do, freely and comfortably. Then when I'm about finished, then he'll come up again. He'll come up again, he'll seat the animal until I've jumped on, and he will see that he's got a cloth or something over his face, and then we'll move like this. And for no remuneration, he observed all that parda, he observed all that modesty, that respect for me, right until we reach the gates of Makkah, or the gates of Medina Munawwara. So I'll never forget this Usman ibn Talha, what he's done for me. You see, sometimes we flirt with a girl, we're talking casually, it's a work or something, but she knows what's your intention. She can discover. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to make out what's your intention. Why are you talking so casually? Why are you flirting like that? Why are you just looking like that? So are we an advertisement to Islam? Are we an attraction to Islam? In these two areas they'll see us, they'll observe us in our interaction, our transactions, number one, and in how we socialize with women. These are the two areas they're going to see us. They're going to see us very carefully. Abu Buzuqanuddin, they don't emphasize so much on nafil namaz and nafil zoro. They speak about these dealings, etc. Dealings, your ways, your socializing, your interaction. Get these things right first. They don't say that the nafil mustn't be done. But that is just the extra. That is just the extra. These things are like the very body, you know. Now, for example, you got sugar, you got diabetes, you bloated up like that. Weight problems you got cancer, heart and all that. All the problems, plus you got skin acne and psoriasis, everything. And then with all that now, a woman is putting up some jewelry and all that. Is that any beauty? Is it add any beauty to her? Not going to add to the beauty. So this is that nafal. We're not going to discredit you. But the actual thing is to get the body right. Now if the body was right, perfect body, you know, the shape is right, the health is right, they don't have so much of display, but you'll appreciate this body. You've got no complications. So the nafal, as compared to the essence of Islam, this is the essence of Islam, this is the extra of Islam. This is the essence, and this is the extra. A Muslim is trading here. Talk of some of the pious Muslim businessmen, right? They made money also. They made millions. Not that they didn't make. Imam Hanifa Rahmat also made millions, and not millions, billions he made. But what was their style? They showed that business etiquettes, that essence of business, what it is like. So it's a Muslim that is trading here, and there comes in a client, and a very potential, not a potential, extremely potential client comes in, pulls in. He wants to purchase. He wants to make a deal for about 2-3 million cash. So this Muslim businessman tells him, "By, you know what? Go to my neighbor and make the purchases from him. You'll get all what I'm selling. You'll get it from him as well. Now I want to buy from you. Now I request that you must go and buy from him. So now I want to buy from you. So now I don't only request, but I insist and I plead to you, go and buy from him. But why don't you want the money? Why don't you want to do that business? Every other person will do that business. So now don't worry about all that. So no, I must know. I won't move from this place. You need to tell me why you are shifting me to this neighbor of yours. He's a Jew. He's a non-Muslim. And I'm a Muslim. I have come to you and you're shifting me to this person." He says, "Yes. See, our Nabi Sam told us, Ad-deen wa an-nasiha. Deen, what is deen? Deen khair khahi ka naam hai. Deen is being good to everybody. Non-Muslim, Muslim, everybody. But you have got that heart to be wishing well for everybody. So then why do you wish well for this person in this man?" He said, "No, see, I've been trading very well. I've got what I need for this month of mine. I need it. I got mine. And I'm seeing that his business is not just working out for him. I've been seeing for a month or 2 months, I've seen things not working out for him. Now this that you're going to give me, this 3 million business, can last me for about 4 or 5 years, it can last me. But rather this person enjoys it. Because one is, Nabi Sam is speaking about us being good to our, being good, wishing well. And it's also advising us, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyukrim dhaifa, falyukrim jara. Must be good to his guest. He must be good to his neighbor. He doesn't specify that the neighbor must be a Muslim to be good to him. No. Even if he's a non-Muslim, but be good to him. I can see my guest here. I can see my neighbor here. And he's suffering. He's going through his constraints. I must take all the wealth and I must leave him like this. It's not in accordance to the teaching of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That money may be destroyed, but the teaching of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mustn't be destroyed. I will honor it. For the rest of time, I will keep up the respect and the teaching of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The wealth can go, it's alright, it can be recovered. But my teaching of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I must let it go like this. Is it so cheap? See, now this is only possible when we have that conviction of the wording of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Otherwise, we will misconstrue this whole hadith, take all the customers, take all the clientele on your side, swing it, sway it on your side. So, well, my neighbor, he doesn't have anything to eat and all that. Well, let me pass on some bread to him. At least he'll have something to eat, you see. So we can misconstrue the hadith also very easily. Let me give some, alright, I'm being a little bit more kind to him. Let me give him 1 month's grocery. But I'll take that 3 million business I'll keep at this side. 1 month's grocery, let me pass it on to him. Imagine if you were in that constraint, someone passed on the 1 month grocery to you, and he stole all the business, how would you have felt? How would you have felt? Now this is a pious businessman. He's working, but his business is an attraction. His business is an advertisement. His business is an invitation to Islam. He would have taken that whole business for himself, but he passed it on to him. See, the ethics, the spirit of Islamic finance, it is not just to stretch borders, parameters, and to see that I get everything on my plate, and that person must go. It's all right if he starves. I must get everything. One person went in Jamaat. So he spent some time. Again, we're getting to this very essence of Islamic finance. So he came across the verse of the Quran. أَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ إِذَا كِلْتُمْ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Give full weight and measure. When you're weighing and measuring, full. Measure also must be full, and the weight also must be full. Now, these words of the Quran Sharia are very comprehensive, and they can be applicable to any situation. It's not just confined to one situation. It applies to every situation. Weight and measure. It can apply to the employer, that he needs to see that he extracted the time from the employee, so he must give him complete measure. What was the measurement? Give it to him. What was the understanding? You give him, you see to it that you give it to him full. Give him a little bit more. Perhaps he did a little bit more for you, right? And perhaps you may have shouted him in the whole process. Perhaps you have told him a word or two. Say, alright, I'm going to take 100 rands more. Alright, buy this for yourself. Take this present. To cover up for your mistakes, for your shortcomings, right? That he doesn't curse you afterwards. Even if he's a non-Muslim, it doesn't mean that his curse can't fall on you. This whole Tatari revolution that took place, right? And approximately 3 million Muslims were killed. It was the curse of one non-Muslim. It was a curse, the consequence of the curse of one non-Muslim. What happened? Now we think, no, nothing can happen to us. Nothing. Infallible. We are with Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak's friends we are. So nothing can happen. So we may have told him something, we may have took out something more from him than was supposed to be taken from. How do we compensate for that? How did we compensate for that? See? So it can apply to the employer, it will apply to the employee as well. One engineer was here. So he says, in my work time, I don't even look at my internet. My phone, my internet, I don't even look at it. I was curious to know, but why? Why don't you look at it? So he says, you see, I'm working for 7 hours. I've got a 7 hour contract for the day. So my time I've sold to my boss. When I've sold my time to my boss, then doing my own work, I'm stealing from him. So I don't want to be a rogue. By Allah Pak, I don't want to be a thief. That I can't be doing my thing in his time, because I sold my time in lieu of that amount. So that time belongs to him. When the time belongs to him, if I'm going to do my own work, I'm stealing from him. So I don't want to be a rogue. I don't want to be a thief. By Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to come on the day of Qiyamah all disgraced and all humiliated. I don't want to do that. So it can apply to the employer. It can apply to the employee both ways. This person is ensuring also, hey, if I'm supposed to be working 7 hours, let me work 7 hours and 10 minutes or 20 minutes. Because I may have made a mistake here, I may have done something wrong here. So let me cover up. So the employer is thinking the same way, the employee is thinking the same way. I ask you, how much of love and muhabbat and respect will be permeating around that business? The employee is showing so much of respect, the employer is showing so much of respect. He will be loving him, he'll be respecting this person here. I'm not interfering with your movement at all. I respect your work, and I respect your service. And this person is saying, I respect your employment. You're giving me an employment, you're giving me an opportunity, I respect you. He will show you ways, he will guide you. He'll be making dua in your absence. So anyway, this person went out in Jamaat, and he heard that zin warjah, you are weighing or measuring, give something a little bit more. Give a little bit more than what you are supposed to be giving. Now, he had gold, you know, jewelry shops, all in front of the Haram Sharif. Those big gold shops. So, he came back from that 4 months, whatever, he came back and is giving. So the children are complaining, Abba, you know, this is not potatoes and onions that you are selling, this is gold. This is gold and diamonds that you are selling. And you're giving 1 ounce, or one gram, 2 grams more. You know what it will accumulate to? All accumulated over the day can amount to at least 100 grams. And you know what is 100 grams? So the father is saying, but this word, zin warjah, you know whose words they are? They are Nabisam's words. They are greater than all the gold in the world. See? Now this is what we need to bring about in Islamic finance. When we talk of Islamic finance, not just parameters, limits, no. Look at what the spirit of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's advice, his teaching, his etiquettes of business. Allah Baktofi Masih.